jump into the epic world of Avatar: The Last Airbender.
With Nickelodeon's official companion podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements.
Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Listen to Avatar: Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
Listen to MTV's official challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
It's The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert.
My first guest tonight is a musician who made history last year when she won 5 Grammy Awards, including Best New Artist and Album of the Year at the age of 18. Please welcome to A Late Show, Billie Eilish. Hi, Billie.
Hi, Stephen. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's great. It's really nice to have you on.
It's so good to be on. I'm geeked. How are you?
Good. I'm glad. I hope that's a good thing. Now, everybody knows who's been paying attention is not only are you a gifted artist, but you shot out of a cannon a few years ago. Suddenly, your life went from, you know, fun, you know, concerts to just exploding and being a worldwide phenomenon. But then suddenly COVID comes in. You're 3 shows into a massive worldwide tour and everything has to go quiet. How did that feel?
It felt the same as it felt for everybody else. It was so weird. I mean, it was weird. I mean, none of the year went at all the way I thought. And I don't think, like, I really think that's for everyone, obviously.
Of course.
I think I'm just glad that I had the year before that to really have a moment because, you know, I just think about the people that at the beginning of 2020 were having a big moment and, like, things were happening and things were coming and then that's like, that makes me so sad. So yeah. I feel for them. But, you know, it's been hard for everybody. It's been so weird. So weird.
Yeah, it's been bizarre. It almost feels like we're all living on some sort of weird spell.
Yeah, it does.
But the reason I ask is because we'll get to the documentary in just a moment. But I know that at times, like the pace that you have to live when this is your time to shine and this is your time to take advantage of the audience perceiving your art for the first time as something beautiful and something they want to be part of. It can also be very taxing. I mean, this documentary we're going to talk about in just a moment, you're exhausted in a lot of this. I mean, your ankles are going, your shins are going, your back is going. And then you have this artificially imposed time to be quiet. Is there anything about that that you're grateful for?
Yeah, totally. I mean, listen, the year has sucked, and if I could go back and I could change it, I would. But at the same time, you know, I've gotten more time off than I've ever had. And of course, I think that goes for everyone, but that was true for me after 2 weeks of it. You know, that was like 2 weeks already at the beginning of quarantine was the most time I'd had off in like 4 years. So, and also I made an album in it. So I made an album and I just don't think I would have made the same album or even the album at all if it weren't for COVID. So, you know, and that doesn't mean it's like about COVID at all. It's just that, you know, you're just, when things are different in your life, you're different. It's just how it is. So I have to thank COVID for that. And that's about it.
Well, the new movie is Billie Eilish, The World's a Little Blurry. It's a documentary on Apple TV Plus, and it comes out this Friday. And it's about 2 hours, 15 minutes long. I've seen an hour and 45 minutes so far. Don't tell me how you end. And it's by the great documentary filmmaker R.J. Cutler. And first of all, I mean, I've been on TV a lot, but what's it like to have a camera living with you? What is that experience like?
It's very invasive, but it's also fun because the way that I put it the other day was like, you know, as human beings, I think we all tend to feel pretty irrelevant all the time. And even though it was very invasive and a lot at some points, and I just was like, you gotta go. It was fun. It was fun to have a you know, people there that are literally just there to watch you live your life, because there's nothing like that. You know, there's nothing in life that is like that. So it was very fun, and I kind of loved it, to be honest with you. It was a lot at times again, but it was also fun. Like, it was just fun to just, you know, be able to just be like, and there's a camera there, and like, I don't know. It was weird. It's a weird way to live, but it's also fun. And they were really respectful. So they were very much like, if I was like, okay, I can't do this right now, they would just leave, which was great. And that's so needed.
Well, it's an amazing film, and it shows, well, how much you and your family love each other, and how supportive they are of you and your brother Phineas, your writing and your producing partner. And it also shows you as a complex and beautiful artist. Is there any way that, who's also known for being very authentic, trying to be herself, and being very true to your own expression, does the camera change the observed in any way? I mean, there's a maxim of physics I don't really understand, which is observation changes what's being observed. How did it change you? Are you really you in this?
Good question.
It's what I do.
So I think I am. I think that it's really important to know, though, as an audience member of a doc, this doc and every other doc, of just being very conscious of the fact that it's not everything. Like, you're seeing a sliver of my life at that time, you know? Mm-hmm. And even though and I say that because I grew up watching documentaries about artists and about whatever. And in my head, when I was younger, I just immediately naturally was like, oh, now I know every single thing about them. I know everything they've been through and everything they were going through and thinking about. And I think you tend to feel like that because as people, we go, well, what I know is all there is to know. Naturally. So I think it's important for people to know that it's not all that was going on. There's a ton that isn't in there, but it's pretty much me. And it's kind of a huge bummer because I was super annoying then. I know it's rough. It's hard for me to watch.
I disagree. So you watched it?
Yes, I've watched it.
Did you watch it alone? Did you watch it with friends? Like,
I watched it with three of my friends that are like my team also, but my best friends. And I wouldn't let anybody watch it until I'd seen it. Cause I didn't know what to expect. They were filming for like, you know, 3-ish years, and I don't really change in front of a camera. So I was very worried. So, and it was, you know, the first cut we saw was like 3 hours long, maybe longer. And, it took us probably like 5 hours to get through the whole thing because we kept stopping it and just being like, for real. Like, there was one point when I stopped it, screamed, got up, run around the house, came back, pulled my pants down, ran around the house again. Oh my God. It was a lot. But it's beautiful, and it was amazing to relive the good parts, not the bad parts, but it's crazy.
Well, it's fearless. It's very generous of you to share your life, and it's really instructive because, as I said, you're a complex and beautiful artist, and you see the complexity and how authentic you are to yourself in watching this documentary, and it paid off. It turns out you bet on yourself, and a lot of people agreed that they wanted to hear your music, and you've had an amazing, amazing couple of years, and there's a clip here that I wouldn't mind you setting up, if you don't mind, from the film. What's finding out in this moment?
This is me dead asleep being woken up by my family to talk about Grammy nominations.
Jim?
Nominations. Record of the Year. Bad Guy. Album of the Year. What album would that be?
Peppers of
When We All Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go? Song of the Year. Bad Guy. Best New Artist.
Why do you sound like that?
Best Pop Solo Performance. And Best Pop Vocal Album. And Producer of the Year would be our brother.
Oh, he got it?
Yeah.
Yay! He was so anxious about that.
That's great. As someone who has had teenage children, having to wake them up for important announcements, I think that's 100% authentic.
Oh, God. What a crazy day that was. And it's funny listening to that now and seeing that now, because I only cared about Phineas's nominations. As soon as she was like, Phineas got nominated, I was like, oh, that's so cool, because I was so happy for him.
Well, not only nominated, but you guys swept right there. That's you and your brother Phineas with your 11 Grammys between the two of you. Congratulations. Belatedly, but that's amazing. And again, like I said, what I love about it is that there are discussions. You see, there's so many moments in the documentary that are amazing. But I also like the argument you're having about accessibility, like trying to guess what an audience might want as opposed to what you want to say.
Yeah. That was real. That was real.
No, it felt real.
Yeah. I forgot that was even in there. Yeah, it's just, you just got to have those conversations, you know? And when I was that age and before that, when I was younger and starting out, it's like, it's really hard to gain people's trust. Like, it's hard for people to let you do what you want, kind of, is what all I mean.
Because they think they know better and they say, this is what people will want to hear.
Yeah, which makes sense. They've got a whole lifetime of knowing, you know? So it's important to know that, you know, people that are older than you and have done this forever, they definitely see it in a different way and have a lot of advice, but it's also important for them to know that they can't control what you do.
Well, where'd you find the strength to, like, say, no, this is essentially, I'm going to bet on my vision here, your and Phineas, but where's that come from? Because not every 16-year-old does that. Proverbially, they don't, actually. They actually cave.
You know, I don't know if this is why, but I've always been a very, I respond to, like, opposite peer pressure. I kind of have always been like that. Like, when I was younger, if friends of mine tried to get me to do something, it made me want to do the other thing. Like, that's like, and that's how it went. And that's why, like, I never did drugs and I never drank alcohol and, like, never, it was just not interesting to me. It wasn't like, oh, I don't, it just was like, who cares? Like, I'm not gonna do something because you want me to do it. And so I think that in my career, and just my life and what I do, like, whenever I'd hear the words, you know, you should, it made me just angry. I just was like, why would you know what I should do? What gives you the right to, like, tell me what I should do? But at the same time, they have their wisdom. And they, most of the time, and the people that were telling me what to do had a good reason for it and believed in it.
So how did you know when to take that advice and when not to take the advice? Because there's an interesting moment in the movie when you're being interviewed by foreign press. You're on a European tour, I think. And one of your answers is you're trying to explain where you're coming from at one point, and you say, look, it's like music. You can't explain. I can't explain to you why I like it. I just like it. So where's the part of you that makes that discernment? Like, yeah, what you're saying fits with the thing that I feel. How do you do that?
I think it's just an intuition thing. Like, I really think it's just seriously trusting your gut. I mean, I don't think there's any other way to do it. I think that if, you know, I just think if I had tried to follow a certain, you know, plan of, oh, I'm going to listen to this and not listen to this, it just, I wouldn't have known what the hell I was doing, you know? And I think it was really just whatever I felt like was right and was wrong, that's just what I went with. And I guess it worked, so.
More with Billie Eilish after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Say something beautiful about your fans, that you say that they're you don't think of them as your fans, that they're a part of you.
Yeah.
But they also, and you're very authentic with them. You want to give them. Do you ever have trouble giving them everything that they might want from you?
All the time. All the time. I mean, it's half the time that I feel like I need to give them more, and half the time I feel like I've given too much. And It's a funny balance, because it's, you know, since the beginning, I've wanted to have a relationship with the fans that I would have wanted as a fan. Like, that was my goal. I wanted to be the artist that I would want to be a fan of. And, you know, when I was younger, it seemed so easy. And the bigger it's gotten really hard, because it's not easy to be accessible to everyone, and especially because there are some creeps out there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you want to be accessible to the good ones, but how are you going to make yourself accessible if you can't be accessible to the bad ones? It's just,
I have a friend. I know a fella who says that he wants to do that for his fans. And those who know him best know that when he's out with them, he's giving them such a close version of himself. It's so close to all of him. But it's like a little, like a shrimp, like a kite in a shell. They can take it and bring it home, and he still leaves himself there. And it looks just like him. And he tries to do it authentically enough that he's not lying to them, but he has to save something for himself. Do you ever feel like you have to keep that in reserve?
Totally. I also just, you know, it's you can't have a bad moment, like, doesn't matter what you're feeling or thinking or what's going on, what you just went through or anything at all. Like,
because it's their best moment.
Exactly. It's their best moment. And that's the thing of, like, you know, I find myself being like, oh my God, I don't want to take a picture. I don't want to. And then I'm like, you know what? You know, in my head, I'm thinking that. But then I'm like, you know what? Like, you know how minor this is for me to do to, like, make somebody really happy? Mm-hmm. And it's really like you forget that, but you have to remember that moment means so much to those people. The smallest thing can mean the biggest thing. And that goes with everything in life, like literally everything. You do not know what you're saying, how it's affecting people. You could say the littlest thing and not remember you said it, and it could ruin somebody's life. Or the other way around. You could say one compliment and it was just something you thought, and it makes somebody feel completely different and better about themselves. And it's just like, we forget that what we do really affects other people in very large ways. And so it's kind of a tough battle of, like, I am feeling really, really, really horrible, and I want to be screaming, and I can't, because I don't want them to have a bad experience, and I don't want them to have a bad moment. And then, you know, they think about it. That the idea that somebody could meet me and have a bad experience makes me want to jump off a cliff. Like, seriously, I want everyone that I come in contact with to feel completely just the highest high that they could possibly feel. And if anybody hasn't felt that, I hate that. And I'm sure it's because I was, you know, going
human,
through some.
Because you're human.
Yes.
Because you're human.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
tough being immortal. But you've also, you also have been that fan. One of the great moments in it is that it's you meeting Justin Bieber.
Yep.
It's extraordinary. And because you talk about how much you love him, especially when you were younger, when you're like 12. And that moment comes for the audience. We see exactly you having that experience that your fans are having with you. It's a beautiful circle. What was that like for you?
It was insane. I can't even tell you. I mean, I don't know. I can't even begin to think about me at 12 hearing what my life is now. I mean, I can't even fathom it. I wish that some spirit could have come down and just been like, Billy, guess what's about to happen to you in a few years. But at the same time, then it would have messed everything up. I would have been flipping out. But yeah, I don't know. It was unbelievable. I don't know. You know, nobody gets to meet their idols, really. Mm-hmm. And I never would have thought I would have gotten to. And I've gotten to do much more than that. And it's completely surreal. And I don't understand it at all.
And not everybody gets to write and perform the new Bond song, which, because of COVID, was released a year ago. And that Bond movie was supposed to come out in April of 2020. And obviously, it's going to come out this October. The song's going to be big again then, I'm sure. But you've seen the movie, right?
Yes, I have, Stephen.
Is it good?
It's a bomb. What are you talking about? It's amazing.
Good. Just checking. I got a question for you. And forgive me if this is just me not knowing enough of your work. But I've listened to your stuff in the past, and I've listened to a lot leading up to this interview. And obviously that you sound like if you wanted to, you have a beautiful voice. You sound like if you wanted to, you could burn the room down. You could turn the power switch and blow some windows out. But instead of burning it down, you smolder the room. Like you're setting fires everywhere, but it's not a flamethrower. Are you ever going to belt for us? Just absolutely shatter some glass.
There's a couple moments. Okay. A couple moments on this album where I pull some tricks out. You know, it's really just about what I feel like sounds good. You know, it's not like I can't do it.
You can do it. I'm just wondering when.
Yeah, no, you'll get a little bit. It'll come.
All right. Good. Well, it's just lovely talking to you. Thanks so much for being here. And listen, when the album comes out, I hope you'll come back and perform live. I hope in front of the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater, because any day now, right?
Any day now,
we're going to have the vaccine.
Yes. Oh, my God. I would love to.
That'd be great. Billy, thanks again. Billie Eilish, The World's a Little Blurry, will open select theaters and premiere globally on Apple TV Plus on Friday. Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Rachel Martin. After hosting Morning Edition for years, I know that the news can wear you down. So we made a new podcast called Wild Card, where a special deck of cards and a whole bunch of fascinating guests help us sort out what makes life meaningful. It's part game show, part existential deep dive, and it is seriously fun. Join me on Wildcard, wherever you get your podcasts, only from NPR.